then I, some people moved into Victoria Road and they wanted me to do some work for them. Judith and I got to know them. They were quite nice people. We and everything, went to dinner with them, different things. But, and I just happened to tell him this story one day about Jack. And he said, oh, okay, fine. Never said anything. And he came in about a week later with a map. And he said, I'm ex-Navy. And he said, I've got a friend who's in the German Naval Museum. And he said, I've managed to trace it back. And she went down just off Heligoland. And he said, I can show you, but you're not supposed to know, because it's a German war, it's British war grave, you know, for the Navy. But that's where she went down, and HMS Seahorse was there. Right. So that was interesting. So we found all of these things out. Oh, and the other thing that we found out, we knew that they went on Boxing Day. I wasn't able to show my mother where it went down, but my mother was reading, this was before she went blind, she read the paper, the Colchester paper one day, and a reporter had gone into a pub in Wivenhoe, and there was a bottle of whiskey with a raffle ticket on, and he'd said, you know, what was it? So they said, this was the first mate of HMS Seahorse. So there was two of them who were at Wivenhoe then. There was Jack and this other person. And this first mate had bought the raffle ticket for the New Year's Eve raffle, and he'd won the bottle of whiskey. And, of course, he never came back. And the bottle of whiskey was still in there in the 80s. They kept it in the cupboard. And he had found out about it at a different thing, so he knew which day it had sailed, and my mother found out bits and pieces from there. Mm-hmm. But that was another. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Well done. I mean, one of the other lovely shops as growing up in Maldon, I can remember, was Collins, which is at the very top end of the high street, where the cafe...
Saffron Kitchen.
I don't know what it's called. I can't remember what it's called now. But it looks down the high street, which was... Oh, and the smell of coffee, because they used to put these big, big coffee machines and grind all their own coffee, and it was just such a... And the spices, with little tiny silver sort of spoon things, and they would take the spices out and put them in little bags for you and name them. And, it was a magical shop as a young person. And the thing that used to intrigue me, they used to write out the bill and how much each item would cost. And they would put it into this little canister and fix it. And the wire used to spin up across, and there was this lady that used to sit up in this office, and she'd tally it all up, and then your money would come out, and then she would put the change in that and whiz it back down. And it used to, I mean, it was amazing.
She just pulled a string,
and it away it would go. And it was just, I used to sit there, I used to think, oh, I'd love to be able to sit up there and do that.
But we had loads of greengrocers as well in the town.
Yeah,
lots and lots.
There was one further down.
There was Trenfields.
Yeah, and what was the
little Fox?
Little old lady down, sort of not quite Mill Road, but the bottom end of the high street. I can recall there was funny, very dark and dingy her shop was, but I can't remember her name.
I mean, Mill Road, there was two sweet shops side by side.
In Mill Road.
Tickner's, and I think the other one, it wasn't Markham, was it Markham's?
No, Markham's, Mr. Markham used to make the most delicious toffee apples. And again, as a child, I can remember going round the back of where he lived when he made the toffee apples. And he actually let me dip the apples in the toffee one day. That was a great, great experience. I suppose most people now would think, Nothing, you know, it but was, to be able to do things like that in our era was something really special, you know.
It was before the day of the supermarket.
And Rocky Markham had a little thing down the prom, well, even in the bottom end of the high street, and he used to sell all the rock, beautiful Rocky he had, and these toffee apples.
He made the rock and the toffee apples, and that's why he was called Rocky Markham.
And would the fruit have been local?
Probably.
A lot of it, I would imagine. I mean, obviously, again, like the strawberries all would come from Tiptree, and the apples, there was lots of apples picking around, so all of that used to come into the greengrocers. We didn't have exotic fruits like pineapples and things like that. It was just bananas we had, and they used to be Fife bananas, I can remember. Mm. They were. Mm. But other than that,
We had two seed merchants.
Yeah.
There was Powell's.
Two fishmongers we had.
Yeah.
Ballses, the fishmongers, and the other one up the top.
Les Wright. Well, originally it was in the high street where HSBC Bank is now. That was where Les Wright's original fishmongers was, and then he moved up to where the sports shop is next to the church.
And by the church there used to be Paul's Press, that was another printing company. And there was another butcher's there, wasn't there? Two.
Yeah, there was. It was it's where the hairdressers is now next to Talking Flowers. That was a butcher's. I can't remember what it was called.
Higgins.
Mr. Higgins.
That's right.
And yeah, the different. But there,
where the travel agencies now, that used to be a jeweller's shop. Because I can remember, in my younger than that, I suppose. Must have been about 11, 12. I used to dance in a group called Hilda Riedling's dancing group, and we actually got on a talent competition and went on the television. And we were actually, I think we got £2 each for doing it, and we didn't win, but we got that. And I can remember buying a gold signet ring from the jewellers there, where the travel agency is now.
So where were your classes?
They were held behind where the sort of pizza and kebab shop is down further down the high street. There's a little shop that's closed down now, a little kind of gift shop, and there's an alleyway. You used to go up the back of that, and there was a hall at the back of that, and we used to dance in there. I can remember going up the high street when I was 3 years old and going in there, and I don't know that it was Hilda Riedling then, it wasn't, but some lady used to have a ballet class, and I so wanted to do it, and I used to prance about near the door, and in the end she said to my mum, "I think you just better let her come."
And were there different classes for different ages?
Hilda's, she took two classes, that was all. So there was the younger ones and then the older ones. But Hilda was the signal woman at the train station. Well, we had trains in Malden then. And again,
on the signal box.
And again, I used to go down there with her, and now and again she'd let me pull the handle to alter the signal for the train to come in.
And Mr. Bellhouse from Victoria Road was the station master.
That's right, And Mr. Baxter, there was a Mr. Baxter, lived in Victoria Road, and where the hall was, when I was saying when I went dancing, there was a big area of land out the back there, and he used to keep pigs. And I can remember getting told off because I would feed the acorns to the pigs. Well, of course, too many acorns poisoned the pigs, so you couldn't. And there was a wall. Another thing I can recall, and I don't know what age it was, must have been again sort of 10, 8, 9, 10, but there used to be a wall run along by the side of this hall, and you could climb up it, and if you were very, very careful and walked along the wall, you could get through to Victoria Road, jump down the other end to get through to Victoria Road.
The old gasworks.
Which where's the old gasworks was. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And I mean, people had shops then. They had funny little shops. I mean, near opposite where you live, the little terrace cottages that come round into Fanbridge Road. You come round the top past the dentist, and there was a sweet shop there in one of those little terrace cottages.
Was.
And the lady sold sweet. It was her, like the front room of her house, and that's where she sold sweets. And then you came round, and there was lots of the whole of the high street was full of shops. It was from the Promenade Park all the way up. It wasn't just just at the top or the middle or anything. It was all the way through.
But I can remember as a child lying in bed above my father's newsagents, and I'd push my bed to underneath the window, especially in the summertime, because you'd watch the people catching the bus. They'd spent the day in Maldon, down swimming and things like that with all the children, and they would be queued from the bus station right the way down to nearly the corner of Victoria Road to catch the buses to go home. And it was just, it used to fascinate me, all these people, you know, wonder who they were and what they used to do. And I used to love people watching, still do. There was a Tom's Cafe as well by the side of the other side of the bus station, wasn't there?
Yeah.
They lived above.
Yeah, they used to live there. I mean, when we...
They had two children, a boy and a girl, didn't they?
We couldn't go on holiday. Dad was working all the time. No. So we had a chalet on the Osey Road campsite. And we used to move in there for the 6 weeks summer holidays. And Dad would come to work still. But in those days, we had no electricity, no water in this, and we had a tap. We had to go and fill up to get the water. We had Calla gas lights. I mean, at 8 years old, I used to light a Calla gas light in there. But we'd go off all day long. And the seawall, it was before the seawall was built, as it is now. It was not at all high, and it was just clay on the top, but had all these stunted oak trees all the way along. And then when you went a bit further, there was some water pits that had been dug, and in there was all newts. Today you'd never be allowed to build on it because of the newts and the things there. But one day during the summer, there was a fire, and it was a really hot summer, and it took out all of these oak trees. And then after that, it was all cleaned up. The sea wall was built up and done.
But we used to go on the corner of Victoria Road on a Sunday, didn't we? Because the Salvation Army always used to play outside the pub there to try and convert. I think trying to convert the the men in the pub, but and of course then they'd march up the high street or part of the high street to go round to the Salvation Army, and as a kid, you know, you could all march behind them. I mean, it was just silly things we used to do. I never got told off for doing it.
No, because you made your own entertainment. You didn't vandalise anything or damage anything. I think it was because we were born after the war, when there had been such a shortage of everything that you didn't do it. You knew people had suffered, and you were grateful for what you were.
Well, I don't know so much of that, but you just didn't, did you? Your own entertainment. You'd be, as I said, be down the prom all day. You would swim. I mean, those days you had the changing huts and everything down the prom. I can remember being thrown in the lake, because I couldn't swim. My friends just threw me in, and it was sink or swim. So it was doggy paddle to the raft in the middle. And I can remember sitting there for almost been a good hour, thinking, how am I going to get back? How am I going to get back? But yeah, eventually it was
great. Heybridge Basin. I mean, there was eel barges down there.
Yes.
In those days, you would see all the eels in the eel barges, and the elvers, I mean, you were talking about millions of them all the way round these boats. And then the barges would come and fill up with the boats would come up the river, and then the barges would go out, fill up with wood, and they would go all the way up to Chelmsford, taking the wood up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was...
And we used to... The fishermen... down on the bend of the river on a Sunday, you go down there and, you know, they'd sell you the dabs and the fish
yeah.
that they'd caught, and you'd come home with these little fish on a little piece
it's
of wire ring and holding these fish coming up the high street for your parents to cook.
But, I mean, I can remember walking around Bailey. We were only children, no adult with us. We'd walk around Bailey and then we'd strip off to our underpants and we'd be in the river, in the canal. And we'd swim the canal. I mean, you wouldn't let a child go in there. No? But I've actually stood on the railings on Fullbridge and jumped in the river and swam there.
When it was the old bridge?
Well, it must have been. No, or was it? I can remember the old bridge collapsing. No, it must have been this one.
When did it collapse?
It must have been about 50. 50 years ago.
So that would be the 60s?
Yeah, in the 60s. They were building the new one, and they were working on the old one, and something collapsed, and somebody was killed.
Killed.
When it went down. Yeah. But quite often we'd swim in there, and we'd fish for eels off there as well. Because have you caught any decent eels? Because every Sunday afternoon, the traffic coming from Mersey, Mill Beach, Osey Roadside, it would queue all the way from Heybridge, all the way up and into Malden High Street, because it was the only way for the people to get back to London, to Barking, Ilford, all of that area. And they would be chock-a-block. Well, if you had a bucket of eels, they would love those eels, and you could sell those. Mm-hmm.
And my dad used to stand at the top of Market Hill selling the newspapers to them as I went home.
The traffic was stationary.
Oh, I couldn't make, yeah. It was chock-a-block.
Chock-a-block.
It was
sort of bumper to bumper all the way along. We moan about going to Chelmsford sometimes when it's bumper to bumper, but in those days it's exactly what it was like. Mm-hmm.
So people along were selling
beach.
Eels. They were selling newspapers.
Anything else? Yeah. Oh well. It was so slow, and Holdings Garage was the only one that you could get fuel from, and of course it was one man who filled up.
Where was that? Was that by the Ware Pond?
No. Holdings was in Heybridge. Where you came from Goldhanger and came around where they've built those new flats now, there was a garage there, and you'd stop there for fuel and you weren't allowed to do it. The man would fill it up and then you had to pay him and then he'd bring your money back. So can you imagine all this traffic queuing up and it took so long?
But there was another one along the causeway called Ruggles, the garage, and you could get petrol from there.
Yeah, but he was on the other side of the road.
Yeah.
So that was the problem. You could get it that side, but
yeah.
And then, that talking about the causeway, I mean, it used to flood.
Yes, it did.
In the winter, it used to flood if it rained heavy. And we'd,
yeah.
That's why it was called the causeway. And you know, it
So does, how did people manage when it flooded?
Well, it didn't sort of flood up high, but it was sort of... I think it was enough to stop it going in their front rooms and things like that. Yeah. They'd sandbag it and everything. But, yeah, I mean, it was... Because the old river used to come that way. The Blackwater actually finished at Fullbridge, didn't it? And came the other way. The Chelmer goes the other way. So...
Yeah.
Just trying to think. I mean, we used to Dad used to take us cockling as well in the river. We used to go with a bucket and a rake, and we used to do it, and the cockles would spit at you, and then you'd put them all in a bucket and we'd wash them. And Mum would put a galvanised bucket onto the stove, and she'd boil it up, and then she'd put the cockles in, and we would sit down and eat the take them out of the shells and eat the cockles.
So whereabouts were these cockles from?
Well, on the Osey Road, on the river there at low tide, we'd go out with a rake, and we'd rake it and do it. No, you never got into trouble. I don't even know if there's any cockles that much in the way of cockles down there.
No, wouldn't know. It's just something you don't, you know, as you grow up, things change, you don't do it anymore, do you? Silly things you can remember.
Like old Basil Leatherdale.
Oh, yes.
He was quite
a character, wasn't he?
He was. He had a little wooden barrow that he made with wheels on. And you would see him on Sundays. He would come along and he might have a bit of fish in there and some rabbits or a hare or a chicken, and you could buy, and he'd go to the pub and he'd have a beer, and then somebody would buy a chicken off of him or a rabbit off of him and something like that, you know.
He lived in Victoria Road. No, yeah. In Tenterfield Road. That's next door to the oldie telephone exchange.
And he...
Didn't he?
Yeah, and he...
Character.
He was, yeah. He used to go around all the pubs with all the bits and pieces.
All his bits that he'd...
all his different...
snare.
And now another character who was Archie.
Yeah.
Archie was... he caught meningitis as a baby and got over it. And he couldn't talk properly, and he had a hand that used to shake, and his tongue used to kind of dribble a lot, but he used to clean windows for people, and whenever it snowed, my dad always used to pay him to clear the snow away from the front of the shop.
Yeah.
And he used to do little things like jobs,
didn't he, around the town for everybody. But another thing I can remember, my mum and dad, when we lived at the shop, dad always used to lock up at night, and we obviously, as I say, lived upstairs above the shop, and the four of us girls used to sleep in one big bedroom in the front, and you used to have to go through a little passageway through our bedroom and then through a little passageway to my parents' bedroom at the back. And none of us woke up that night, but evidently policemen tried. In those days, you used to have a policeman come up and down the high street at night, trying all the shop doors, all the doors, to make sure that everything was secure, opened our front shop door, and in he walked. Went downstairs, came up the stairs, through our bedroom, through my mum's bedroom, and then shook my mum's bed and said, "Do you realise you're all open?"
But
you would never find a policeman in the high street at, I don't know what time it was at night. I know it was dark.
I can remember my father saying that the policeman had been up there because he'd forgotten to do it. Because they lived there. They'd come upstairs, we always had our dinner at lunchtime because that's when they worked. And then we had a high tea. And... the police used to try the doors and everything, and then if it was open, they'd come in.
That's why I think too, you never vandalised, you didn't do things that were wrong, because there was always the local policeman around, and he knew you all as children. He knew who you were, so if you did anything that was wrong, you'd probably get a clip round the ear from the policeman, clip round the ear from whoever you'd done the damage to, and another one when you got home from your parents. So you really didn't do anything wrong.
there was a time when, I can remember, when we got woken up at home and this dog making a terrible noise. And we looked out and it was a policeman with an Alsatian. And he was trying to train it, and he was doing it in the early hours. And he would make it stay one side of the road near it. And he called the dog, and because the lights were so bad, it ran into a lamppost. And his dog cried so much, it woke everybody up. And that's when we had the gas lights.
Yeah, in Malden, yeah.
And they didn't always light first of all, and you'd have somebody go round and check them and make sure that they all came on. I think we were the last, Maldon was the last town to do away with gas lights, I think. Yeah. When we had the power cuts in, when everybody we used to go on, when they went on strike, there was Woolworths was where WH Smith's is now, and it was still the old shop, and they still had the gas lights up there. Yeah. So when the electric went, they just lit all the gas lights that were still in
Gowers
there.
Gowers did. And Gowers. Dad had, we did. Dad used to. And the old Tilly lamps.
Yeah, we had to light the Tilly lamps and put them on.
Tilly lamps, as they were called.
I mean, now
to get the fluid into the wick.
Now, if there's no electricity, the shop's shut because they can't work the tills. Maldon, it's a lovely place to live. It's a shame the railway was done away with, and one of the great things was Easter Monday, the races.
Oh yes, and never got to see that. We used to have to work because we were open all the time. Because the buses going to the races, ice cream and drinks and things and
We used to get the bus, or we'd walk down there to Beeley Races. But the hundreds of people that came to the point to point racing there, and you walk back along the road, and there'd just be lines and lines and lines of you. Now buses were full up.
So who would have organised these races?
I think it's the same people, the Hunt people, who organise the point to point still, but they did away with it here. They just do it over there. Mm. But just trying to think of some of the other things we did, and Maldon. I mean the railway, as I said, it made a lot of difference. But when that went, it was such a shame. And I don't think it'll ever come back.
No.
Well, if it does, it won't be as it was. It would be a different way. But so many people are moving to Maldon now. We could do with it. Mm. We really could.
Mm-hmm.
Can't think of.
We always did clothing in the old shop. So of course, when the carnival was on, which was huge in Maldon, and people came from all around. We always sponsored the baby competition, so that was always done. But all the shops gave generously, didn't they, to the raffle prizes, and because they knew the money was there. The other thing was the taxis coming to Maldon. They still come, but In those days, it was the London taxis decided any disabled or children who went without, that they would come to Maldon. They originally wanted to go to Southend, and they applied to Southend Council to take them, and they said no, they wouldn't have them. So they came to Maldon instead. Mm. Peter Williams, who owned the Amusements, or who was always known as Winkle, he used to give them all the free rides. They never paid for anything to go on there. Everybody came together to give them their lunch, their coffee, their teas. They went all the way around the town. And in those days, all the taxi drivers, if they weren't helping with the children, they used to be in the pub having a drink. But that was another wonderful day. The high street would line up. And
the fair come into Maldon. In those days, we, as children, would knew their children, didn't we grew up, and they every year they used to come to your shop and make a point of coming to see you, and
they used to take all our cardboard tubes and they would cover them with
furry stuff and stick eyes on them
on it and give it
that they were free for
give it away in free as a thing, but they made those in the winter when they had nothing to do instead of a goldfish,
And all the ladies always, like their shopping trolleys, weren't the canvas, they were beautiful wicker ones that they'd had.
Well, I still see Don.
Don, yeah.
Who's the same age as me, who still comes here for the carnival, and I go and see him every year.
And he still gives us free rides, not us, but the granddaughter free rides. Yeah. Bless her.
I should think I've worn you out.
Sorry. You and I bought 77 High Street when we lost. The old Wenlocks went into liquidation in 1992.
In the first recession, wasn't it?
And we bought the shop at 77 High Street now, which had stood empty for 2 years, and we took it over and revamped it. And I can remember putting the water on there, and every pipe in the place had burst, and water came out everywhere. And we did all that work on there. It was the old Co-op greengrocers, and Mr. and Mrs. Cox were their son Philip and daughter Rosemary lived above there, and he used to grow the a lot of the things at the back to sell in the shop. Of course, that was my playground as well, because it backed onto the Butt Lane car park. So when we bought the shop, I managed to buy a piece of land which I knew would landlock the rest of it, and then I bought the next piece of land which gave me the land to build Wenlock Way.
Yeah.
And we built Wenlock Way, and we sold that in 2015. Mm-hmm. But we was it 2003 was when we started the building work.
Started the building work on it, yeah. Yeah.
And I should really, I know I've got those photographs.
Yes,
and I should let you have those, how it was built, how it
that
came.
That would be really interesting.
Yeah, yeah. All the way through. The only thing I regret, I never put a canister underneath any of the buildings with, to show if anybody dug it up.
What a time capsule.
I always regret I never did that.
Mm-hmm.
But okay.
Good.